Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is the preview spotlight for the April 2012 previews. It covers material that should start shipping in June 2012. And as always, we're going front to back of previews. We are not going page by page or item by item because there's way too many. So what we pick is stuff that hits our interest and the interest of any readers. We have an open submission policy, so every time around, we welcome and encourage listeners to send in just a short minute or two clip on, hey, you know, this on this page from this publisher looks exciting because. And I appreciate as many submissions as we get because it sometimes turns me on to stuff I'm not reading. I also appreciate it because, man, I'm finding it really hard to do some of those clips this time around. As these solicits, particularly from Marvel and DC, get more, frankly, uninformative, and they ask a question or two versus answering the question of why should somebody read this, I don't know, I could use the help on that.
Yeah, there's some vagueness to a lot of this. I was finding myself just to talk about some of them because I'm interested in this stuff, but I was talking about stuff that was out of the context of the previews catalog. Like I talked about Before Watchmen, mm-hmm. and what excited me about Before Watchmen was based on the panel that I went to at WonderCon, not the solicit material that I necessarily saw in the catalog.
Well, and that's the sort of thing that I'd like our listeners to help fill in the gaps with, because I'm sure everyone out there is checking out different websites, going to different conventions, hearing different things about different projects, and there's so little information about so much material in previews that a lot of these publishers, particularly the people in the back half, but even sometimes Marvel and DC, need all the help they can get in terms of getting people interested in picking up the right material for them. And that's the whole point of these episodes, is kind of a matchmaking service. Every comic out there has a target audience that would just love it for whatever reason. And if we can help the people in that target audience find those projects and those comics and stuff, everybody wins. So that's the whole point of the game here. So shall we start playing the clips?
Sure. I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody has to say. First up on page 32 is Fatima, the Blood Spinners, number one by Gilbert Hernandez. Gilbert is half of the Brothers Hernandez, who is responsible for Love and Rockets, very classic work in the indie comics world. Gilbert's part of that. He did the Palomar and Luba stories in that. He's also done Birdland, New Love, a number of other things, but he's been a favorite creator of mine for years, so I'm really looking forward to this new work from his. And he is envisioning the strangest, most thrilling future yet. A drug called Spin offers the wildest trip imaginable, followed by its users' inevitable rapid deterioration into undead flesh-eating. Despite the side effects, the drug is so popular that the human population is dying out. With no cure to be found, the beautiful, lovesick Fatima may be the only thing standing between the survivors and the apocalypse. Get ready for four gorgeous issues of Zombies, Drug Lords, and Gorgeous Women. Instead of Love and Rockets, we've got Love and Zombies. 50% off on this first issue. And I'll be checking it out from Gilbert Hernandez and Dark Horse Comics. First up in the DC section is four issues of Before Watchmen. We've got Minutemen number one, written by Darwin Cook, art by Darwin Cook. Silk Spectre, written by Darwin Cook and Amanda Connor, with art by Amanda Connor. We've got Comedian number one, written by Brian Azzarello, with art by J.G. Jones. And Night Owl, written by J. Michael Straczynski, with art by Andy and Joe Kubert. All of these have a backup story of the Crimson Corsair, written by Len Wein, with art by John Higgins. Now, When I originally saw the announcement of Before Watchmen, I kind of thought, well, I'm not that interested in this. I would rather see these creators doing something else. It's very interesting that they're doing more Watchmen stuff, but you know, I'm not that excited about it. Then I went to WonderCon, and at WonderCon, I went to the Before Watchmen panel, and they had these guys up there on stage talking about this project, and my opinion of this turned around 180 degrees after hearing them discuss their plans for Before Watchmen and how they're treating this material. They talked about how they were sitting in the writer's room talking about this, and everyone had a copy of the Watchmen graphic novel, well, the comic book series, in collected trade paperback format, let's say, since it was a 12-issue comic book series. And they were very carefully maintaining the Watchmen universe that had been created by Alan Moore. They were expanding upon scenes, but they had no interest in, you know, someone asked, is this going to be one of the new 52 universes? And, you know, can we see crossovers with other stuff? And they're like, no, we have no interest of crossing Watchmen over with anything else. It's a standalone universe, and that's what it is. And just hearing them talk and the reverence that they had for the material, and that they are all huge fans of this material and wanting to tell other stories. And Alan Moore created such a rich world here that the original Watchmen work is going to stand on its own, and nothing can change that. And if they were just throwing out some hack work to capitalize on that, that would be one thing. But here, it really seems like these are people that all are big fans of the Watchmen properties and the Watchmen universe, and they want to tell some stories with a lot of care and craft put into them. And these are top-notch creators. So, given that, I came walking out of that panel convinced that I absolutely wanted to check out Before Watchmen. And then their intent is that for the entire run of this, they're going to have a series of mini-series. And in total, there'll be, I believe, something like 32 different comics that are coming out. And there'll be one coming out each week from the first one that comes out, which will be the Minutemen number one, through the end of the year, basically. And each one of these is going to have that Crimson Corsair backup strip by Len Wein that's going to continue from one book to the next throughout all 32 of those comic books. And, you know, that's just a new character, because if you've read Watchmen before, you know that in the Watchmen universe, they don't do superhero comics. The big popular comics genre is pirate comics. And Crimson Corsair is supposed to be the most popular pirate comic in the Watchmen universe. So it'll be sort of like the Black Freighter story that was in Watchmen. But this is a comic book from the Watchmen universe that will be moving through this as a thread. So anyway, I'm very excited about this. DCBS is offering a bundle. You can get all four of these number ones for 75% off. So you can get four number one issues for $3.99. That's a buck a piece. There's no way I'm not trying these out. I would recommend everyone, if you've just dismissed these out of hand, to at least give them a second thought and to check them out when you see them on the stand if you don't pre-order them. These really seem like they're going to be something special. And, you know, the proof is really going to be in the reading of those issues, but I am really looking forward to these books at this point.
Next up on page 96 is Batman and Robin number 10, featuring a gathering of all of the Robins. Now, I really enjoyed the issue of the all-new Batman Brave and the Bold comic, which was done through the Kids line a couple of months back, which featured the same basic concept of gathering all the Robins, with Damian, Tim, Jason, and Dick Grayson and stuff all kind of gathered together based on the cover. It should be kind of fun. Might even answer the question of, you know, was Stephanie Brown ever Robin in the new, you know, continuity or not? Either way, it should be a fun kind of a concept.
In the All New Brave and the Bold, All New Batman Brave and the Bold issue, it was fun to see how they all interacted and kind of compare and contrast the different characters, and I hope they do the same thing here. In addition to the gathering of the Robins, it looks like the Gotham City villains are deciding to gather as well, forming a pact to bring down Batman. Cover price here is still $2.99. DCBS has this at a 50% discount, bringing the cost down to $1.49.
This is Dave Beatty, artist for DC Comics, and my pick of the month is Grifter No. 10, plotted by Rob Liefeld, scripted by Rob Liefeld and Frank Thierry. The art is by Scott Clark and myself. It's 32 pages, full color, $2.99, and is rated T for teen. In this issue, Grifter faces off against the Daemonites alongside Deathblow and Cheshire. And Scott and I are doing some of the best work that we've done for DC Comics on this issue, and we really hope that you check it out. And now, back to John and Bob.
I will confirm that Dave and Scott are doing some really great work on the Grifter comic book series from DC. I had originally stepped away from Grifter, but I came back and picked up issue number 7 because Dave and Scott are doing the art on it. And wow, it really blew me away. They are doing some really nice work. If you are not looking at the Grifter series, you should really pick up a copy in your comic shop and flip through it and start looking at the art in this book, because it's really something to see. And we've got a new storyline starting off here with issue number 10, so give it a look.
Next up on page 120 is Legion Lost number 10. Now, this is written by Tom DeFalco. He used to be, I think at one point, editor-in-chief over at Marvel. He was also the writer on the Spider-Girl series that just lasted forever, despite, all odds. Good writer. Doesn't appeal to everybody, but I kind of like his style. Good all-ages type stuff. And this issue of Legion Lost, the Legionnaires are hunted by the Meta-American and his Meta-Marines. That sounds like kind of a Captain America-ish sort of a group, maybe? Don't know. They're not on the cover, so I really don't have anything to go on there. What is on the cover is the Legion in what looks like a very potentially dystopic future. And the text here is, do they decide to stay in the present or return to a future that may be totally different from the one they left behind? So maybe we're getting some time travel stuff here, maybe we're not, don't know. Again, I like Tom DeFalco's writing. Art and cover here is by Pete Woods. He seems to be doing a pretty good job. And, I'm a fan of the Legion, and, I'm curious to see how this Meta-American and his Meta-Marines may or may not tie into what's happening with Steve Trevor and Argus over in Justice League and stuff. And if DC is trying to build up almost like a S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of an organization or a couple or whatever in the new universe. Cover price is $2.99. DCBS has this at a 50% discount, bringing the cost down to $1.49. This is a title that's more or less self-contained. It just crossed over with Titans and stuff. But other than Legion of Superheroes, really, I'm pretty sure this is going to be kind of off on its own little thing. So if you wanted to dip your toe into the new 52... this may not be a bad choice.
Hey guys, it's Damien here from LordShaper.com with my first pick for the month, which is on page 122 in the DC Comics section, which is Batman Beyond Unlimited number 5. This is basically the re-release of the relaunch of what they've done with the actual Batman Beyond universe, putting it in with the new 52 type thing, where instead of it just being about Batman on his own, it's actually incorporating sort of the Justice League elements that we had come up in the actual TV series. So it's good seeing what they're doing with that. They've got him linked in with the rest of them, so you might have Green Lantern in there, you might have the new Hawkman, there's Superman in here, and it's actually the original Superman, just a lot older like Bruce is. You've got Superman facing off against a new generation of Luthor. You've got the conclusion of the Warhawk story, which is the son of Hawkman and Hawkgirl, so it's a really good book. You should check it out if you haven't already. This one's actually 48 pages for $3.99, so it's actually a bigger book than what we had before. And yeah, I've been loving this series. I love this whole aspect of the actual Batman universe, sort of how it's set in the futuristic. To be honest, like going back to the animated stuff itself, I always prefer the actual Batman Beyond over the actual Batman. I'll say that now. Justice League Unlimited was better, but really I did love the Batman Beyond universe. Okay, I'll let you go back to Bob and Joe.
Hi, this is Micah from Arizona, also known as Dave Beatty's wife, and my pick of the month is Grifter Volume 1, Most Wanted Trade Paperback, written by Nathan Edmondson. Also, the art is by Cafu, Jason Gorder, Scott Clark, and of course my husband David Beatty. It's 192 pages, full color, for $16.99. In this trade, the DC Universe's Most Wanted Man stars in his own new collected edition. Grifter is branded a serial killer when he begins hunting and exterminating inhuman creatures hidden in human form that only he can see. With Grifter the only hero who can see them, it isn't long before the Daemonites are out to kill him. Guest starring everyone's favorite Emerald Archer, Green Arrow, and this trade paperback collects Grifter's issue number 1 through 8.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with a pick from the Vertigo section on page 139, which of course is going to be Hellblazer. As everyone knows, I love Hellblazer and I won't stop promoting the book. I haven't done it for a while, so it's time to do it again. And we've got John Constantine and Epiphany Greaves, who's his actually wife, see a trashy werewolf movie. It brings sort of disturbing memories and things going on from there. You have the lycanthropocope. We've got werewolf, actual aristocrats, socially mobile gangsters. There's all sorts of stuff going on here. So honestly, I love Hellblazer. They're coming up to issue 300, so we're at 292. So if really people should be reading this book, it is currently the longest ongoing DC book, so you can't go wrong with that. Peter Milligan's been doing a really good job on it. He's really changed what my opinion was of the Mina run sort of thing, so it's sort of given it back to it. Like at one point I was only getting the book because I had every issue of it, and that was doing the Denise Mina run. Peter Milligan makes it fun to read. You still have Simon Bisley doing the actual art on this as well as just the cover, so he's doing the whole lot with it. It's great seeing the Biz actually getting in there and doing the pages as well as the actual book itself. So check it out. It's on page 139. As always, 32 pages for $2.99. Okay, let's go back to the guys. And again, very soon, I'm back again with another pick. Now, this has to be one of my favorite Vertigo series ever. So if you're on page 139 that I actually just talked about Hellblazer with, turn the page, you have the Invisibles Omnibus. This is the entire Invisibles run. It is 1,536 pages long, $150, so I'm really hoping I can get a good deal on this. It's the full thing collected, so it's the three series actually conducted in one book. This is my favorite Morrison book of all time. Now, people do go, some people like it, some people don't like it. I love this book. This sort of delves into Morrison's chaotic world with his magic wanting going through there. So all his magical essence, all of his ideas, all of his chaos theories, everything are thrown into this book. Honestly, you have to read it to believe it. I would honestly check out some of the online resources first up to see if it's your type of book. I know, I'm pretty sure Bob isn't a fan of it. I am a huge fan of this book. I actually went through, I've picked up two complete runs of the series, so I was going to bind it myself, and now I'm wondering, should I actually pick this up? So the collection includes the first series of 1 to 25, the second volume of 1 to 22, the third volume of 12 to 1, they actually count down to the millennium for that one. There's the stories from the Absolute Vertigo number 1 and Vertigo Winter's Edge number 1. So there's a whole ton, and that's everything to do with the Invisibles world in there. You know, I've got this, I've got the companion, I've read all the online information on the actual companion site. You've got to check it out. Oh, okay, so that's enough from me talking about this. As I said, it's $150, so it's not going to be for everyone. 1,500 pages long, and it's on page 140. Okay, let's go back to the guys.
Next up is Kiss number 1 from IDW Comics. This is the return to comics of the characters created by the rock group Kiss. This is not their first time to the comics rodeo. There was a series of Kiss comics from Image, Kiss Psycho Circus, that ran 31 issues from 1997 to 2000. In 2002 through 2003, Dark Horse put out 13 issues of a Kiss comic. And in 2007 to 2008, Platinum Comics put out 10 issues of Kiss 4K. So there have actually been over 50 issues of Kiss comics previously in the comics market. If you're a fan of Kiss, and if you're a fan of the Demon, Star Child type characters created by the Kiss band, this is a chance for you to get some more of that. And longtime fans and new readers alike are going to see four ordinary guys from the 1920s Chicago caught up in a battle of epic proportions that will reverberate across time and space. And we're going to have a variety of different covers. I'm not really into that, but I'll just be checking this out largely on the strength of the writing and art. Chris Ryall from IDW is writing this, and the big draw for me, Jamal Igel, is doing the art in this series. So that sold me right there. It's a, I believe, four-issue series, and I'm going to be checking this out. 50% discount from DCBS on the first issue, and I am really a big fan of Jamal Igel's art. So that's what I'm going to be getting this for. Next up on page 182 is Planetoid number 1 from Image Comics by Ken Gehring. Silas, an ex-soldier turned space pirate, finds himself stranded on a mysterious planet in alien territory. As he explores the long-abandoned industrial ruins of the planet's surface, he will have to fend off rogue mechanical creatures, roving cyborg militias, and a hostile alien military with a bounty on his head. Silas will have to rely on resourcefulness and bare-bones survival tactics in order to stay alive and ultimately unlock the secrets of a planet where survival is a luxury, an escape, and a possibility. Now, this was originally a five-issue series digital on the Graphically comics platform. Now, Graphically, I believe, has given up in the digital comics war with Comixology and ceded their seat at the table to them. I've seen press releases from Graphically that they are refocusing their efforts on other digital media like novels and things like that. They're not doing new comics material anymore. They're not selling comics anymore. But if you already have comics on Graphically, you can still view them, but nothing new from them. In any event, since this has already been completed, it should come out monthly and without any delays. Now, one thing I want to call your attention to is there's a four-page preview of this in the previews catalog on page 182 through 185. It's printed very dark. And I looked at that and I was like, wow, that's printed really dark. And I poked around a little bit online and found some online previews of it. And I believe this is just a previews catalog printing defect. So we'll have a link in the show notes to those same pages online. You can see they look a lot better than they are portrayed here. I think that there was a serious previews printing defect here of these pages. So check out Planetoid. It's got a 50% off discount, and I'll be checking it out.
Next up on page 186 is Creator-Owned Heroes number 1. Now, while the name isn't all that creative, in this issue we get a post-apocalyptic story by Steve Niles and Kevin Mellon, and a sci-fi thriller by Jimmy Palmiotti, Justin Gray, with art by Phil Noto. Now, this is a 40-page comic. Obviously, we've got two lead features here. There's also an interview with Neil Gaiman. It sounds like there may be some other articles, maybe some art pieces and whatever. It's a little hard to tell. So I'm not sure how many pages each of these main stories is going to be. They're both part one of don't know how many. But this is kind of a chance for these guys to both do, you know, I guess half an issue or whatever. It sounds like some interesting stuff. I'm curious if this is going to be just these guys going forward or if it's going to rotate to be other material coming and going. The additional material, con photos and stuff like that, seems to be all around just celebrating, you know, creator-owned properties and stuff. Again, I'm curious if it's going to be 10 or 12 pages for the stories, closer to 16 or something, don't know. Cover price is $3.99, 40-page comic, that's very reasonable. DCBS has this at a 50% discount, bringing the cost down to $1.99. Certainly, I think this is worth checking out and keeping an eye on in the future as to what other properties, if any, you know, come in here. Next up on page 30 of the Marvel Previews is Winter Soldier number 6. Now, if you're looking for a relatively self-contained title in the Marvel Universe, this is one worth considering. Ed Brubaker continues his great work with the Winter Soldier in this series. And the Winter Soldier is what he told well over like 50 or 60 issues worth of stories on in Captain America when the Winter Soldier was first introduced and then later became Captain America for a while. Michael Lark is taking over the interior art with this issue. Steve Epting is doing the covers. And this, of course, starts the second story arc in this title. Now, the solicitation promises an incident we won't forget. I'm always kind of skeptical on that, but, you know, this is Brubaker, and he does tend to deliver on stuff. So, you know, I'll give it the benefit of the doubt here. And the story is featuring the Winter Soldier chasing an insane man that they say will become his worst enemy. I hope that means his most deadly enemy or something like that, not the most pathetic enemy, but, you know, who knows. It's Brubaker. It's probably going to be a pretty serious threat for the Winter Soldier, who's no pushover himself. You know, we also have Black Widow co-starring in this series. Like I said, this starts the second story arc, which is Broken Arrow. This is a $2.99 cover price. DCBS has it at 50% off, bringing the price down to $1.49.
On page 43 of the Marvel catalog, we've got Infernal Man-Thing number 1, written by Steve Gerber with art by Kevin Nolan. Now, this is a previously unknown Steve Gerber Man-Thing story that was recently discovered, and Marvel brought in the artist Kevin Nolan, who I'm a huge fan of Kevin Nolan, to illustrate this story that they found. And Kevin Nolan says that he started with the 70s approach. He decided that each page would be a full-color painting. He'll use his black outlines on the figure, but he wasn't going for a fully realistic approach. He wanted to have the sharpness that the black lines give comic art, but he is painting these pages. And that is very exciting to me. You know, he's going to be going in and taking this final story that Steve Gerber has written. I don't know if it wasn't the final story Steve Gerber wrote, but it's the last one that we found and the last one that we'll see on Man-Thing, and really give it the care that it deserves to bring that story to life. That's good enough for me. I'm very excited to see this. I was a fan of Steve Gerber's original Man-Thing run when it first came out back in the day. So I'm going to be checking this out, all three issues from Marvel Comics, 50% off through DCBS. Check it out.
Next up on page 245 is Idolize number 0 from Aspen. Now, this is a zero issue. It's only going to have about 12 pages of story, which sets the scene for the first issue, which will come out in, I think they say, August. The rest is going to be kind of the sketchbook, the behind-the-scenes design, art material, that kind of stuff. And this is a promotional thing for the series itself. Now, that having been said, it's a 32-page comic. Again, only 12 of that is new story pages. Now, the concept here is it's a TV reality show in which superpowered teenagers and young adults compete for a guaranteed spot in the premier superhero team, the Powered Protectors. Now, we've seen this kind of a reality TV thing a couple of times. It's a fun concept, and I'm looking forward to seeing what these creators do with it over at Aspen. Again, it's a $2.50 zero issue here, 50% off at DCBS. It's $1.25 to try it out. Even if you don't try out the zero issue, give the first issue a shot when it comes out. It should be solicited, I guess, next month, the month after. Definitely, this looks like a fun concept and worth checking out.
Hey guys, it's Damien back with my last pick for the month, which is on page 253 in the Avatar section. No, it's not a Warren Ellis book. No, it's none of those sort of stuff. This is actually the Bleeding Cool magazine, issue zero. I'm just yet pointing this out. I actually read Bleeding Cool daily. I love the stuff they've been putting on there. It gives me a lot of information about what's going on type thing. It's sort of like a wrestling dirt sheet for comics. I'm going to check this one out. You're looking at $1.50 for the actual book, or $1.49 as it said here. 32 pages for the magazine. It's worth checking out, $1.50, just check it out. Have a look, see what it is. So this one's going into actually the Rise of Valiant, so it's going to be interesting seeing what they've got there. We've got the sort of Valiant stuff starting to come out again now, so just check it out, Can't go wrong with $1.50. What else could I say? If I like it from there, I'm going to be picking it up otherwise. Okay, then, I'm going to let you go back to the guys, and I shall be back next month.
Next up on page 302 is an original graphic novel based on the longest-running live-action superhero show on American television. That's right, The Power Rangers. Now, as many of you listeners may know, I've been a fan of the Power Rangers for quite some time. I've also started watching a lot of the Super Sentai shows, which are the Japanese shows that Power Rangers are based on.
Now, this particular original graphic novel
is Power Rangers Super Samurai Volume 1, Memory Short. It comes out in both a softcover and a hardcover format. Both have the same 64 pages of content. There's about a $4 price difference with the softcover at $6.99, the hardcover at $10.99. It's in a 6x9 format, so kind of, a manga digest kind of a size, I'm really curious about this because, the current season of Power Rangers is Super Samurai, which is an adaptation of the second half of Samurai Sentai Shinkanger, which aired in Japan on a weekly basis on, Saturday mornings, maybe Sunday mornings. Anyways, weekend mornings, between February 15th, 2009 and February 7th, 2010. These Sentai shows tend to be about 50 episodes, give or take an episode or two. They air every week, and just like we have used to have the Saturday morning cartoons here, these shows are a staple over in Japan and have been going on for 35 years. Yeah, 35 years. Now, I personally kind of prefer the original Japanese Super Sentai shows to Power Rangers, just because they're actually in control of the story, whereas Power Rangers, I find fascinating as an exercise in how do you take a show where you've got the stunts, the villains, and a lot of the footage already done and kind of limits the stories you can tell, and then adapt it to a completely different culture with completely different ideas on what's acceptable and what's not for kids' entertainment. So just as a process junkie, I find it very fascinating. And really, Power Rangers is a show that I think a lot of people just dismiss outright without ever really having watched it. Now, the tone from season to season can vary quite a bit. Some of them are kind of silly, and certainly the current show has aspects of that, with Bulk and Spike, the son of Skull, providing kind of the comedic humor and stuff. I don't really care for that, but, that was part of what made Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the hit that it was back in the day. But the other thing that makes Power Rangers stand out, it's a live-action superhero show. If you watch the fight scenes, the stunts, the special effects, they're pretty impressive. Some of the fight scenes they've done, I would say, are on par with what you will get in action-adventure movies with big-name stars. Even if you don't watch the show, if you've got kids, this might be worth checking out. Again, it's an original graphic novel featuring a brand new story, available both in a soft cover and a hard cover. Looks like there's no difference in the content, so I'm going with the cheaper soft cover version. DCBS has it at a 45% discount, so I'm only going to be paying $3.84 for that soft cover. Power Rangers has gone for over 700 episodes. They got to be doing something right, and I'm wondering if they can kind of duplicate that success in comic book format or not. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Either way, it's worth checking out if you're the least bit interested in this material.
And from Oni Press, we've got Bad Medicine number 1 and 2. We've got the first two parts of the initial story arc in this new comic. Pulled out of exile from a dark corner of the world, renowned surgeon turned fringe medical eccentric Dr. Randall Horn must return to New York City to investigate a tragic research lab accident that's left one man dead and inexplicably headless. With the help of distrusting NYPD detectives, he must diagnose whether this strange case was truly a random act of misfortune or the first calculated move by an invisible psychotic murderer. Now, forces in the U.S. government intervene with their own plans for the unseeable man and his scientific breakthrough, but does either party really know what they're dealing with? It's written by Nunzio De Filippis and Christina Weir, with art by Chris Mitten. I'm a big fan of Chris's from his work on Wasteland, and I'm looking forward to this new series following Dr. Randall Horn, and this is right up my alley. It's a suspense horror kind of genre, little different twist on it. Oni has had a lot of great successes with things like this that they are trying out. So, you know, things like Sixth Gun and Wasteland and the like. So they get the benefit from me of a tryout on any new series like this that they put out. So I'll be looking forward to reading Bad Medicine when it comes out. We can get issue number one for 50% off.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, and this month I am looking forward to The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 3 Century, issue number 3, 2009, from Top Shelf. And it's on page 318 of the previous catalog. It's, of course, written by Alan Moore with art by Kevin O'Neill. And I think this will be the final issue of League, which is sad, but I look forward to reading it, as Alan Moore doesn't put out a lot of new comics anymore. This series has been coming out since 1999 and is the fourth series. The first, there's series 1 and 2, then there was the Black Dossier, and now this Century series. And I just love Kevin O'Neill's art on League. It just goes perfectly with Alan Moore's sort of wacky tales that he does in these comics. And if you haven't read the first two issues of Century, you should still be able to pick them up in a comic shop. I don't think that'd be hard to find. And if you can't find them, you can, of course, get them on a website like Comixology or their app. These are actually like small trades, these issues, like a half trade or maybe a third of a trade. So they're about two issues or more in here, and of course there's a lot of the Alan Moore text pieces in the back of the issue. Now this issue is scheduled to be released on June 22nd, 27th, and the cover price is $9.95. I look forward to reading it, and I think you should too. Thanks, Bob and John.
Hey guys, this is Sean, and I'm calling in to recommend Harbinger number 1 from Valiant Entertainment in this month's previews on page 324. This is the second title in Valiant's relaunch coming this summer. Last month they solicited Exo Manowar number 1, and this month they're following it up with Harbinger number 1. This book is written by Joshua Dysart and with art by Kerry Evans, and I think they've put together a really great team to relaunch this title. Harbinger was, of course, one of the most popular Valiant titles from the classic era of Valiant back in the 90s, and this book looks like it's going to be picking up on everything that was great about that title and making it new, improved, and updated for today's age. The basics of the book is that it's about Pete Stanchek, 18-year-old kid who is an incredibly powerful Harbinger, person with natural, extraordinary talents. He's recruited by Toyo Harada, the leader of the Harbinger Foundation, who also has similar abilities, but is secretly probably out to take over the world or something like that. So, it's a book about teenage rebellion, establishment, and battles between incredibly powered psionic individuals. Check it out. I think it's going to be great.
So I've had a month or two lately that were a little below average and stuff in terms of my spending, but then this month and last month were kind of a bit above where I'd like to have my average be. And this time around, I mean, there was one or two big ticket items. A lot of it is just the number of regular comics and stuff I'm getting. My total right now is right around $527.82. It may fluctuate a bit before I send it in based on a couple other things that I've still got to make some decisions on. Where's yours sitting at?
Right around $550. But, you know, I have one of the same big ticket items you've got that's almost $100 of that, and that's the GRU Artist Edition from IDW, which those artist editions are just gorgeous. They are, to me, they are like having original art, but, you know, you can't afford the original art. You know, for $100, you can get over 100 pages of very accurately reproduced Sergio Aragonés, GRU the Wanderer original art, whereas any one page of that, if you could find it, would probably be somewhere in the $500 to $1,000 range. You know, so being able to get an entire, you know, pile of it in a giant, beautiful hardcover book, it's well worth the money. But this is for people who like that sort of thing. It's not a replacement for reading a collected edition. It is really, it's like being able to very closely examine full-sized color reproductions of the black and white art. And the reason it's a color reproduction is that you can see on the black and white original if there's any blue line pencil work visible, white out, you know, corrections, any of that kind of stuff. It's very close simulation of actually having a page of original art. And these are really something exceptional, the artist editions that IDW is putting together. They are allowing us as fans to see the next best thing to original art, where we would never, you know, pretty much everybody, you know, would never be able to actually have this original art, you know, at least all of this original. You might get like one page of it or something if you spent a lot of money, but this is phenomenal. And, you know, it looks like it's, well, you know, it's $100, you know, it's $93.75 from DCBS for this GRU the Wanderer one. But, you know, that's actually a tremendous bargain, you know, for people who are in, you know, collect original art can tell you. You know, so that's one big ticket that really helps pump up the total. I also got a couple of the Marvel Masterworks, and I know you picked up that Iron Fist one also. This is the second half of John Byrne's work on Iron Fist, and it carries us through to the point where it becomes Power Man and Iron Fist. And then the other Marvel Masterwork is the fourth volume of the Atlas Era Tales of Suspense, which runs us through the end of the mystery story era of Tales of Suspense, to the point where the book got taken over by Iron Man. And in fact, this volume has the very first time it's ever been reprinted mystery backup story from Tales of Suspense 39, Iron Man's first appearance, because they always show the Iron Man story, but they don't show the, you know, other stuff that was in that issue, because Iron Man wasn't the only thing that was in that issue. And, well, I don't have that issue, I'll say, yet, but, you know, it's you know, it's a, you know, couple of $1,000 for that comic book, even in very low condition. So being able to get all this this work is tremendous. So, you know, it's a $75 book, and it's $41.24 from DCBS. So, you know, that's still a pretty good deal, because I like that kind of comic, but not to the point where I want to spend the thousands and thousands of dollars it would cost to collect all those really old Atlas era comic books. So this is a really great opportunity to pick that kind of stuff up. That's a big service to me. It's kind of like the artist edition, you know, because when you pick up these kinds of hardcover reprints, they're such a bargain compared to the cost of the originals. And plus, those originals are very hard to find. It's a very different game than picking up a trade paperback of a story from the last couple of years, or even the last 15 or 20 years, because you can find most of those comic books.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'm a big fan of the artist edition, just because, you know, I'm enough of a process junkie, and seeing as close to the actual pages as I'm likely to ever get is just kind of fun. And again, some of those, the masterworks and stuff like that, like you said, it would cost so much to go get the various issues, even some of the newer stuff like the Iron Fist, you know, that having it all in one place is cool and handy.
Yeah, there are certain ones where it's almost like they're reprinting things that are like, you know, you can get those issues for a buck or two a piece. The John Byrne Iron Fist stuff is not stuff that's particularly cheap, so it's a decent deal to get that one also.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, most of what I've got is not big ticket items. I think those were two of the four I had. I think there's another trade and maybe another hardcover I'm getting. But most of what I've got is just, you know, again, I'm still getting the new 52. I'm getting the Marvel Universe, getting some independents here and there. So it seems like there's a lot more that, you know, is clicking with me and at least getting on my list than was true as recently as like 2 months ago.
Yeah. I am picking up another one that's not necessarily that cheap is the Milo Manara Archives or Library, they're calling it, Volume 3. Milo Manara is just a masterful artist, and the Volume 1, I believe, was nominated for an Eisner Award, and this is great stuff. If you have never checked out Milo Manara, that's another one. It's in that archive format, so it's a $60 book that you can pick up discounted for like $39, but you know, it's still, it adds in, you know, these things add up when you buy several of them. So I've got three or four of those kind of purchases on my order.
You know, let's talk about the DCBS discount for just a sec, because, you know, we talk about that a lot, and part of that is because Bob and I both buy all our comics through DCBS. You know, they have a great service. We're very happy with them. I love, you know, getting my comics that way. It saves me a ton of money, and that's part of why I'm able to get as many comics as I do. But there are a lot of people, it's like, well, you know, I shop at my local store, and a lot of local stores that say, hey, shop at me. And that's great. We are fully supportive of local comic shops. We don't want anyone to think otherwise. And we don't want any shop to be offended of, well, why do they keep pushing DCBS? It's like, well, you know, we're a podcast. We've got a geographically dispersed listenership. So this is a common place that they can all go to and get stuff. But if they've got a local store that they're happy with and supports them, they should support it. We're fully, you know, engaged there. And what that means for high-ticket items like these hardcovers, particularly like that Artist Edition one, you know, that's a huge outlay for a store to do kind of on a, well, gee, I hope somebody buys it. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, and this is why we do these episodes when previews is out, go to your local store, tell them, hey, I want this. Order it, hold it for me, I will pick it up. You get the book you want, the store gets the sale they want and can use, I mean, and the publisher sells the material too. It's a win-win for everybody. So whether you do it through DCBS or your local store, doesn't matter to us one way or another. We just want to help make sure that if somebody wants something, that they are aware of it and they are able to get it.
Right. And, you know, there's, in my opinion, a sort of an inflection point on DCBS anyway, because, you know, you pay shipping and you're also going to be waiting some amount of time to get the stuff. You know, if I was only, I say only, you know, but if I was buying like $50 worth of comics a month, I would not be getting them from DCBS. I would be, you know, by the time I pay the shipping and all that kind of stuff, I would just as soon pick them up at my local comic shop. Now, I'm lucky because I have, and I actually do pick up a number of things at my local comic shop in addition to what I get at DCBS. I support my local shop, and I probably spend about $20 to $30 a week at my local comic shop, which is probably as much as most people spend at a local comic shop in general. You know, so the local shop is a great resource for comics. Some of our listeners and a lot of people, they don't have a local comic shop. You know, it might be that the closest comic shop to them is 40 miles away, or it might even be farther. And with the cost of gas, you know, going that far to a comic shop is not necessarily feasible for people. So, you know, we like to talk about, because there are alternates. You know, if you've got a good available local comic shop, give them your business. You know, keep them going. But just be aware that you know, if you don't have a local comic shop that is able to satisfy your comic needs, there are alternatives out there. And, you know, John and I have set up on DCBS, and I've been very happy with their service. It was like, what, 6 years or so that I've been getting from them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just they're very good about customer service. And are they perfect? You know, no, nobody's perfect. You know, there'll be some mistakes here and there. But the good thing is they always make it right if you point out a problem to them. And, you know, it's very few and far between. But, you know, they've done right by us. So,
yeah, yeah. And I'm closing in on 9 years with them, I think. 8.5 at least by this point. Getting all my comics weekly through them. And, you know, like Bob says, they are not perfect. They have made a mistake or two here and there. But really, you know, I had the same issue when I was at a local comic shop. People are human. They make mistakes. The number of mistakes I've had through DCBS over the 8 years, I think, is less than the number of mistakes in terms of individual comics that was made in one insanely bad week at a local comic shop once, where they just, like, forgot to pull, like, all of Marvel for me or something silly.
Yeah, my local shop, I would typically at least once a month have a book that was on my pull list that was not pulled. And it's not a big deal. I mean, I would go in and I would say, you know, hey, you know, you missed this book. And they'd say, oh, sure. You know, and sometimes they'd have to scramble around to find a copy for me, whatever. But I mean, I would have about, on average, one pick error a month. If I have one pick error a year from DCBS, you know, that's probably the extent of it.
At one point at one shop, I think it was almost one a week. But, I mean, to anybody who says, gee, how hard is it to pick books? Let me tell you, I've done it at a local shop here in town back when I was in college. We would get up at that point. Friday mornings were new comic day. So we'd go to the bus stop, pick up the boxes. We would have to get the boxes unloaded, get them all counted, do the pulls for, at that point, there were, you know, 200-300 pull lists and stuff. And you've got a couple of page list. You're flipping through. Okay, they want this, they want this, they want this. What do we have this week? And you've got the 300 lists times the 100 or so stacks of comics you've got that you've got to remember what they've, who want, not so much who wants what, but what comics are just out there. It's easy to miss something. I mean, have you ever been to a comic store looking for something? It's right there on the rack, but you've missed it after walking by it four times. Imagine doing that ad nauseum, you know, 300 times in rapid succession. It's easy to make mistakes, you know. But, you know, the fact it's mail order, I think, means that DCBS realizes, gee, we need a process in place to double-check it. And again, the error rate is low. But by all means, there comes a point where you're not getting enough to make it worth it, or you want the comics the minute they come out, or for whatever reason. Or you just like your local comic store. That's a perfectly good reason to go shop at one. We need comic stores out there. But the reality is, you know, assuming there's, say, 2,000 comic stores out there, and there's probably more, almost certainly more, but a top-selling Marvel book selling, you know, under 60,000 units, that means on average the local comic store is only going to have about 30 copies. And there are a couple of stores that we know are ordering more than 30 copies. That means there are other stores that are probably getting less. So there's not even necessarily a guarantee that if you want one of the top-selling Marvel books, the local store is going to have it. Because they need to order what they can sell, and not much more than that. That's just good business for them.
It's
so
very,
tell
it's,
them what you want.
It's absolutely essential to have a pull list. I mean, I used to be able, for years when I was working my previous job where I worked from home, I could most weeks set my schedule up so that, you know, at lunchtime on Wednesday, I would take, you know, like an hour and a half for lunch instead of an hour. And I could drive up to the comic shop, and then I would get, you know, have lunch at a little place I liked that was real close to the comic shop. Then I'd come home, and I would go right around lunchtime on Wednesday, and I'd pick up my books. Well, now I've got a new job since January, and, you know, I'm working at an office, and it's farther away from the comic shop, where it's not feasible for me to go during the day. I just, you know, it would be like a two and a half hour thing if I was to try to go, you know, from work. So I can't vanish in the middle of the day from the office for a couple of hours every Wednesday. So now I go on Saturdays to pick up my comics. And, you know, fact of the matter is that I mean, I go in on Saturday, and any book that's like a popular kind of hot book, it's sold out by Saturday. You know, it's there for people who have it on their pull list. But if you're not getting to the, you know, and I ask them a lot of times, you know, when there is a hot book that comes out, I go, when did you sell out of this book? And my shop, they don't, I mean, they get a decent number of these books. I mean, unlike some shops, I mean, there'll be some hot Image book and they'll get like 30 copies of it or something, whereas other stores might get 4 or 5 if you're lucky. Well, they'll sell out of those 30 copies by the end of the day on Wednesday. You know, should they have ordered more? Sure. But, you know, there's
well, in
another.
In hindsight, that's easy to say.
In hindsight, sure. But, you know, there's this other Image number one that sold 6 copies or something, you know. So, you know, you can't predict this kind of stuff. The only thing you can predict is if you tell a shop what you want, then they get an idea of what the demand is and they can order it.
Yeah. Again, our whole goal here is not to be pushing DCBS over a local store or whatever. I mean, shop wherever you want to shop. We have experience with DCBS. We like it. We've had experience with local shops. We like, too. But our goal here is to make people aware of what comics are out there in previews. We need your help to do that because previews is still, you know, 400 or 500 pages plus the 100 pages or so of the Marvel previews. There's a lot of stuff. And different things are going to, you know, work for different people in different ways. We want to help, you know, kind of boost the sales as much as we can with what little information we get out of the publishers and stuff sometimes. So, you know, we really want to encourage people to send in clips. It just takes a little bit of time to, you know, say, hey, I like this. Sit at your computer, record just, again, 2 minutes or so of why you like it, why somebody should get it, whatever. You know, should you have to do this sort of thing? Should you have to get previews? Well, in an ideal world, no. But realistically, we're not in an ideal world. You know, a lot of these things are not getting the readership that the material deserves, and that there's a much bigger audience out there if they just knew about it. I can't tell you how many titles I've gotten onto late that I would have gotten onto with the first issue if I'd simply realized what it was, you know? And in some cases, you know, by the time the issue I would have picked it up would have rolled around, it would have been long since canceled. And, you know, so, again, we're just trying to boost the sales however we can, and we would appreciate the help on it. So, every time previews comes out, that's on usually the last Wednesday of the month, and not the Friday 2 days after that, but the following Friday, that Friday night, we have a teleconference on Skype. We talk just generally about comics. We occasionally talk about what's in previews too, although that's getting to be more the digression than the rule. And then we do, you know, that's the weekend we record, you know, like what we're doing right now, the intro and the ending and stuff of the episode, take all the clips, string them together to put out the preview spotlight episode. So please send in clips. We'd really appreciate that. So anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
Does it for me.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.